Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Top Chef Wrap Up Roundtable. I'm Haley Strong. I'm here to serve you some piping hot takes. Just kidding. They're all mediocre, just like the dishes were in the Elimination Challenge. I'm here with two people who are certainly not mediocre. LaTanya Starks, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing on Sunday morning, afternoon? It's morning where you are.
Is it morning? It's morning in America. I'm just hanging out, making tea, listening to Meg the Stallion. You know, like
what kind
regular
of tea did
Sunday
you make?
Things. Well, my friend has. Gosh, it's gonna sound so bougie. My friend has an artisanal tea shop.
Of course, and who amongst us does not have a friend with an artisanal tea shop?
And so I can't remember the name of this one. I think this is the Harmonium blend.
What's bougier, your collection of teas or Kurt Clark's collection of jams?
It's definitely Kurt.
Kurt, what do you have to say about that?
I've only got like two, I got one and a half bougie jams.
That's a lot of bougie jams.
There's the spicy raisin one and then like the peach maple one or whatever it is, peach brown sugar.
But there's more coming because don't you have a subscription service to jams?
No, I don't.
Jambox.
Jambox, yeah. No, it just happened.
Jam session. Okay. If any investors want to call me and use the name Jam Session for a jam subscription box, I'm welcome to license that out.
I think we need to be the investors and just make this. We clearly have someone with an acumen for jams, so we should just put them to work.
I'm good at eating them. I'm not so good at designing them, but I'm good at thinking of ones I'm looking for that don't exist. Like, I wonder if there's a blank, because I could really go for that now.
There is this lady at my grandmother's church who every year for their bazaar makes the most insane types of jam, like carrot cake jam.
Oh.
Other jams that are delicious. That one just sticks out to me.
Let me give you one example.
Let me give you one example and then forget all of them.
Like,
she makes
like
a bunch with pineapple, and that's very much up my alley.
Like, I think once in a blue moon, I find a blackberry
moon jam?
A blackberry peach jam, which is, I've had blackberry peach pies. I have blackberry peach pie cane sugar. I don't have blackberry.
That seems like a very specific ingredient.
Yeah, yes, you're right. It is.
Yeah.
I've got chocolate cinnamon cane sugar. I've got vanilla bean cane sugar. I've got all the berries cane sugar. And then I've got the blackberry peach pie cane sugar.
And how do you apply these cane sugars and what do you apply them to?
I will.
Don't answer that. Under the advice of your counsel.
I will put them in my coffee. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
And was chatting with my cousin over the weekend, and he suggested you could also use it to rim the glass of a martini or a small cocktail.
Oh, I'm sure you can rim. I'm just kidding. cocktail. That sounds good.
So Top Chef, huh? Top Chef, eh?
It's your fault. You came waltzing in here with this hat.
Oh, yeah. For those who are not the $100,000 patrons, I'm wearing a hat and glasses in honor of Tom Colicchio's smashing look at the elimination table.
Just far too sexy, that Tom Colicchio.
Like, the fashion on this season is just so incredibly heightened.
It's fantastic.
Is it like the Portlandness of it?
It must be. But also Kwame with the like the green glasses going with like the neon green that he was wearing, Padma's boots for the quick fire. There are just so many things. I want to be one of those people who finds out like what brands all of these people are wearing so we can have a like true fashion corner.
May I submit Melissa's overalls into this conversation?
You can submit anything about Melissa you'd like.
Like, I'm like, she's so striking to me. I think I'm in love with her.
She's one of those people that I just think that I fell in love with during her season of Top Chef. And there's nothing that I can do about it. The end of that sentence.
I need to start paying more attention. Like, it just, his hat struck me, but I kind of tuned out to the rest of the sartorial choices. So I will vow to do a better job for the next episode.
That's all we need is your
vow. I can't wait for the section in your notes next week. Like, what did everyone wear?
Because I am a big Project Runway fan. But I think it's just like I can focus on one creative choice at a time. I've been focusing on the food.
That's, you know what? I think that's a fair excuse.
That's fair, actually.
And yeah. So.
And Project Runway, in my humble opinion, is not good anymore now that there's no Heidi and Tim. But that's just me. I wouldn't say that at dinner with the Kushners.
I haven't watched reference. It since like high school, and I was very into it for a while.
Well, yeah, there was a, I can't remember which contestant it was in the previous season, but called out one of the judges for being friends with the Kushners.
No, to being married to one of them. What about your dinner with, did he say Ivanka even?
Like, no, he said it was to dinner with the Kushners. You called out the full family.
And her face.
Wow, yeah.
It was great.
But I'm sure.
Sorry, I'm on Team Taylor Swift in the, you know, Taylor Carly battle.
I'm not saying I'm sure they're married and friends. So I wasn't mistaken.
Well, yeah. I mean, not all of us had Ivanka at our wedding. So.
That's true.
No, thank God.
So Top Chef.
Quick fire. Campbell's soup. Okay.
Was Padma correct in saying that nearly everybody has Campbell's soup in their pantry?
I think that might be correct, even if you accidentally bought it like 4 years ago and it's just still there because you can't bear to throw it out. I will say this rang true that my parents had a couple dishes that wholly depended on a can of Campbell's mushroom soup. And when I was young, it was unsettling. As an adult, it's unsettling, but I miss it.
Oh, okay.
It was like a mushroom sauce, and you could either put pork chops in it, my least favorite, chicken or shrimp, and it was just like over pasta. Now that you think about it, it's like, okay.
Yeah, that sounds very comforting, though.
I think our parents must have gone to the same home ec class, because I think it was the pork chops, the cream of mushroom soup, the like egg noodles, just kind of all sauteed together. And I have Campbell's chunky soups in my pantry with the soup that is as good as a meal. So you've got like the clam chowders and the jambalayas.
I can't bring myself to eat something that features shelf-stable meat. So the Campbell's chicken soup, I just cannot do.
You can't do it?
Uh-uh.
See, that was the only thing that we did with soup in our house. We just had it. Because my grandmother is a very good cook. And so she was one of those people who like made three meals a day for her kids. And just did all of her sauces and stuff from scratch and built all her flavor from scratch. And so we'd only see, there was always Campbell's around, but we would only see it when we were sick. So it has that comforting thing for me still, because I remember like being sick all the time as a kid and like getting Campbell's soup. But other than that, no, it wasn't like a thing that we cooked with. Like, I don't think my grandmother literally ever made a casserole in her entire life. Which is something that really lends to. So,
yeah, I think I've just done I've not even used it. I think again, just that one. This is literally that singular pork chop dish. I'm not a fan of tomato soup. There was a cream of chicken one on the challenge, chicken. Right? Because I think most people did mushrooms and tomato. Yeah. I think one person did a cream of chicken.
Yeah, one of my dad's favorite weekend lunches was like a can of Campbell's tomato soup with a grilled cheese. So I was thrilled with Chris's simplicity to go for a grilled cheese panzanella with tomato soup vinaigrette. There's a reason he won. I feel like a lot of times with the Top Chef, they really try and be like, I'm going in a completely different direction. Like sometimes the classic things are classic for a reason. Mm-hmm. And he just heightened it. When I love the boldness to go so simple and so not expected, but expected kind of thing.
Especially it was given, we got to learn a little bit more about his family. He was at the bottom last week. So I think he took it as an opportunity to turn things around. There was a lot, because there was the first time I watched this, I kind of completely missed the elements of the chefs talking about how this does tie to a memory. And I got done watching after I was taking notes. I was like, did they even go into that? But then the second watch through, like, oh no, actually, you know, nearly everybody mm-hmm. tied it to something. Yeah. I enjoyed most, I think, Maria's dish in terms of that, you know, this is what, you know, won my wife over in terms
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah. So,
I love the little packages that they are all getting. I was just terrified that they were going to be sending those people home.
Yep. I was very worried for our buddy Gabe at the beginning of this.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. The FaceTime with the child.
Ugh. And the kid saying, have you won yet, Daddy? Have you won yet? And he's like, no, not yet. I'm like, he might not win. What if he doesn't win?
What are you doing? Poor child.
Gabe made cod braised in charred cabbage with a spicy sofrito and charred fennel citrus onion salad. Kurt, we already know you're not going to want this one with the
for several reasons.
For the fish and for the fennel. So, LaTanya, what are you thinking about this one?
Okay, so parts of it sound good to me. The charred cabbage part just sounds like something that would make me explode. So I would probably stay away. But like spicy sofrito, all that, like I'm good with fennel because I'm not a fascist. So
That's fair.
So part like if the cabbage was gone, I think I would be okay with this dish. It's just I have to avoid things that are gonna make me take more antacids. Because I'm old.
That's fair.
And here's the thing is like, I'm actually, the times I've had cooked fennel, I've been okay with it. It loses that licorice-y flavor to it. So I think I'd be interested in trying the charred fennel citrus onion salad. But yeah, between the cob and the cabbage, I'm like, this doesn't sound great. But anyway, he was on the top though.
Yeah.
So.
I will say a lot of these like cream-based dishes does get my stomach churning just to scooch. But I did start taking a probiotic a few months ago, and now I can eat all the things I used to not be able to eat.
Wow. We'll have to just discuss which probiotic that is off the air. Because
it was life-changing, honestly. Now I can eat spicy chickens and be just fine afterwards.
Oh, I can eat Indian food again.
Life is good. Shota, he made a cream of mushroom chawan mushi with crab salad. I love Shota's boldness to lie right to Padma's face. She's like, is this a little loose? And he's like, I like mine a little loose. And then in confessional, he's like,
nope. No, I don't. I lied.
There was a little bit of Padma side eye there, which was fun. Because she was like, she continued, she's looking at him like, I'm watching what you're doing, Shota.
Yeah, she knows you're lying. Padma knows whenever anyone is like bluffing about their food.
And she's been at this way too long to like believe anyone's BS.
Yeah. I don't think she has time for BS.
She does not. I mean? Do you know how long it probably took her to get into those boots? Dawn made a chicken and rice fritter with cream of mushroom and garlic sauce. This is fine. It's not what I would have ordered.
It's a fritter, you know, which is, you always like to see fritter on a menu. But it does seem kind of just run-of-the-mill land-ish.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Like, it was simple. Like, both Dawn and Chris went simple, but Chris had, like, an elevated simple where Dawn's just wasn't, just wasn't what I would pick. I did love the idea of Jamie's Vietnamese shrimp tomato soup. Mm-hmm. I just want shrimp in every single dish.
Yeah, give me some of them shrimpies. It looks great too. The shrimp looked, all of the produce all of the proteins in this episode looked so fantastic before they cooked them. I will just say, mm-hmm. But like in this particular dish, I thought that the shrimp were really beautiful. In a presentation.
Sarah made a top dish with smoked mushroom stroganoff with spetzel. Stroganoff weirds me out. I think it's just one of those things where I don't particularly love egg noodles. I don't know why. I have no reason not to. But this was good. I loved her making spetzel.
Yeah, this one looked so the closest to how I'm used to seeing a cream of mushroom noodle dish prepared using Campbell. So I was intrigued by this.
I can't say I've had a spetzel before, but it does sound good. So it sounds really comforting.
If it's more or less fried dough, I'm probably in for it.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense then.
I think the most recent time I had spetzel, it was like desserty. It was like a
funnel cake almost.
A little bit. I think it was like dusted in powdered sugar and cinnamon. If I'm remembering correctly.
Byron made every day's Thanksgiving poached chicken cream of mushroom bread pudding with mirepoix and sage vinaigrette. This is not really what my Thanksgiving looks like, but have at her, buddy.
I'm simultaneously repulsed and intrigued by cream of mushroom bread pudding as a concept.
Don't sign me up for cream of mushroom bread pudding, please.
I'm curious. I would want to try it. It might need some branding.
Bread pudding creeps me out.
I like bread pudding.
It's just I can't do mushy textures, and I find that more often than not, bread pudding runs mushy.
It definitely does from my experience as well. I think it's the idea of a savory bread pudding that kind of throws me off.
Yes, that's exactly what it is to me.
Yeah, but I would want to try it. I'm curious.
Some people, I guess, have poached chicken on Thanksgiving. So that's nice for them.
I love turkey. Listen, I love it. I know it's not everybody's jam. But what else could I just slather in cranberry sauce and call dinner?
Literally anything.
That's fair. I could probably slather cranberry sauce in anything.
Yeah.
Something for me to consider down the line. Nelson was in the bottom with his sear cod with applewood smoked bacon and tomato ginger sauce. This sounds pretty tasty, actually.
Oh, Nelson. Oh.
What was your issue with his dish?
Huh.
I'm trying to remember. I remember more about
it. Overcooked. His fish was overcooked.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I remember more about the issues with the elimination dish, but here I was
not
like,
a great guess is for Nelson and Kiki.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Nelson's kind of now suddenly coming out of nowhere, but unfortunately, it's like to be on the bottom. Like we haven't had a lot of him in the edit so far, and this week it wasn't that great. So, hoping that it's not a trend of things to come.
Abhishar made a chicken toast masala. Sounds tasty, tasty, good.
Yeah, I didn't know this story about the, was it that there was a chicken masala, but the chicken, was it the chicken tikka masala? Someone added tomato soup to the dish? From the history tale that he was telling?
I did know that it was like a London created dish, but I didn't realize why.
It was a tandoori chicken. Yeah, that was changed into a masala. And the reason is colonialism. Let's just be honest. Like, of course this happened in Great Britain. He's just like, this food is too dry. Send it back and put some sauce on it.
I need a sauce of a certain color, maybe brown if you have it. Kiki made Swiss chard gratin with cream of mushroom soup and herb salad with peppers. I hate Swiss chard.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. She wanted collard greens, right? But I also don't, those are my least favorite are the greens.
Why doesn't the pantry have collard greens?
Yeah, it's a great question. Or really any greens. Maybe they don't have like mustards or anything like that either.
I wonder if the this is something we can ask your future guests. I wonder if the kitchen inventory changes from episode to episode in terms of like chefs pointing out if there's the ability for the chefs to influence what might be there in future challenges. Like, man, we had a lot of people asking for, you know, X. And let's make sure we have it next week or in a couple of weeks' time.
I did hear Gail on Danny Pellegrino's Everything Iconic podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she did say that every about 3 days they have to basically like clear out the whole pantry, and you know, especially like the fresher goods, and it was all donated to Portland food banks.
I didn't even think about that. Like in terms of, I mean, yeah, this is the same cheese that was there 3 weeks ago. Do I really want to use it, sort of thing? No, that makes complete sense. You would want them to have like the and it's probably a fine line between having a range of things and not overstocking and wasting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're at least approaching the waste part by looking at how it can be donated for good cause.
Yeah, the behind the scenes, how they actually set up the show, the show's production is fascinating to me. And I would definitely like to know more about it.
We talked about Chris's dish. Maria made a cabbage salad with poached egg and tomato soup vinaigrette. I would probably marry Maria for that too. Mm-mm.
It was another
cabbage big, getting you.
and it was another big serving. I think we're learning from Maria that she cannot like do small. Like if there's an amuse-bouche challenge, I'm very curious to see how
that bouche will be amused.
Yeah, like bouche grands.
Yeah,
yeah, giant bouche.
So yeah, there is not a lot here that appealed to me in terms of just the description. And tomato soup, the poached egg.
Are you like salad. Guy Fieri that you're out on eggs?
I'm not a huge egg as ingredient fan, like Cobb salads, even like omelets. There's sometimes I'll have like a bad reaction to eggs. Only when they're a part of the dish, not like when they're a ingredient in like, say, you know, cake or something. But I'll often have to get like an egg white omelet or something like that. But yeah, I'm not a fan of typically a fan of just eggs for egg's sake.
Oh.
I don't like hard boiled eggs. They creep me out.
Right.
Really?
I can eat an omelet, but I can't eat scrambled eggs. Don't know why. They're the same thing. Mm. And if I'm presented with a fried egg, I will eat the yolk and skip the white because the white is bullshit.
Wow. I'm kind of the same way with scrambled eggs in terms of not being a huge... I can do it. Like I said, I can do an omelet if I get no egg yolk. But scrambled eggs don't do it. Scrambled eggs don't do it for me.
Sometimes Ethan will make a scotch egg and I want to die.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. I can't. I'm working on it because I want to be more of a foodie, but I have trouble with runny yolks. So like it's always been a problem for me since I was a kid. And now I realize that it's more of a sauce kind of thing than anything else. But there's a barrier for me that I need to get over. And when I do have a poached egg, which is very rare, I ask for it to be poached all the way through. And if they do that incorrectly, it's just a hard boiled egg.
So. It's just in like a different little package.
There was a
purse of egg.
I can't remember what dish it was. Some Korean dish where I made a soft boiled egg to go with the proteins and the noodles. That turned out really, really, really well, to be honest. Mm. I was actually very pleased with how well I was able to do soft boiled eggs. So it has to be kind of I have to kind of be in the right mood, the right accompaniments, blah, 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 blah. So that was, that was Maria with the poached egg. And our last up, we had Gabriel. And Gabriel had the grilled filet with roasted delicata, chanterelles, miso, Madeira, and cream of mushroom pan sauce. How did this strike you?
Sounds like a lot of stuff.
It does, actually. Looking just purely at the description, I would say... I don't know if there was like necessarily a need to edit, but this sounded very, between all of like the mushrooms and the miso, mm-hmm. this sounded very umami in terms of the flavor profile.
Like you think it'd be a little rich for you almost?
Oh, no. I think it would be perfectly rich for me.
No, it would probably actually be pretty good. it just does seem like there are a lot of elements working here that could either work well together or not work well together.
We're seeing a lot of chanterelles this season too. Mm. That's another one of those
top chanterelle.
Top chanterelles.
Is there a time when they are not in season? Is it because it's chanterelle time when they're filming the show?
I don't know. But we did hear that Gabriel, like, if he wasn't on lockdown, he would like be out, you know, foraging for mushrooms.
Not something I'd expect from Gabriel.
He's growing more facets as we go from episode to episode.
Is he?
I think he is. Why do I have to defend him?
He's more of a darker shade of cream than like milk toast now.
Come on, Tom, defend your chef.
I'm saying he just seemed a little bit bland the first week, but between
and the second, and then the third, and then maybe even a little bit this week.
I hate you all.
Gabriel's gonna hate us too. Gabriel, no. We know you're fine. Okay,
yeah, it's the edit. I'm sure you're probably a fine, upstanding guy who is an ally to all.
And if you want to go hunting mushrooms together, then like let's go.
I loved the partnership between him and Dawn in the second episode. This episode, I actually, jumping ahead to the elimination challenge, I liked the, you know, we talked about the simplicity of Chris's grilled cheese and tomato panzanella. Mm-hmm. I liked the simplicity of like, you know, I'm just going to showcase these oysters using these fruits.
I think that's fair.
I thought it was a interesting risk he took, and then it was also kind of cool to see him psyched about it. So,
boom. So let's talk about this elimination challenge. I loved it personally. I love whenever they go on a field trip. I think Portland's a great place to visit in the time they're filming about fall. Portland and Niagara are in a very similar latitude. Both great places for growing soft fruits and or hard fruits. So there's a lot of harvest going on there. So I love that they went to a fruit farm and said, guess what? You can't cook with vegetables, only fruit and protein, baby. I loved it. I thought this is a great way to like make the chefs get creative, because a lot of them aren't cooking with fruit often. They're not pastry chefs. They don't often go in a sweet route. And if they use fruit, it's as like a grape foam or whatever.
I liked, again, this was, I guess, some foraging that they were doing technically. But there was the one part where I think it was Nelson saying, you know, I've got some apples and some pears, I'm looking for some peaches. And it almost made it seem like they're just reaching to a tree and they don't know what kind of fruit they're going to pull back.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't necessarily get the picture. Like, I'm looking, like, there wasn't a, it seemed like there was a lot of, I'm just going to get what I get.
I also don't think peaches are in season at that point.
In the fall?
I don't, let me look.
I thought
let
someone me do, had something with peaches.
Peaches. What's it called? It's growth root?
Yeah, Sarah had peaches.
What's it called? Harvest. Peaches harvest time. That's it. That's what I want.
I mean, I can get peaches all year round, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I know a guy.
I know a guy. He's a can opener. I'm good.
You want a peach? I'll get you a peach with nail polish.
at least in Niagara, peaches are in season in about August. So
there you go.
So maybe it's different in Portland. They have a longer peach growing season. IDK.
This sounds like my nightmare, this challenge. Not necessarily because you don't get vegetables, I guess that would throw you for a loop, but because you have to run around in chef shoes and pick fruit from trees that you really don't know what are on the trees. And you're tired and you're sweaty. And then you've got to run and fast get the protein that you want. And it just, it seems like a recipe for disaster. There are bees out there just like numbing on people. No. Like
I was concerned for the health of people's knees in this for sure.
Yeah. I would be on the judging panel for this challenge because it looked like they set a gorgeous table in a wonderful atmosphere. But no, not doing this.
Are you allergic to bees?
I don't know, and I don't want to find out.
I mean, you don't need to be allergic to bees to not want to get stung by one.
Ever since the tragedy of Thomas J, I truly
is that a throwback to that movie?
It's sure is. Called
My Girl.
It's My Girl.
The mood ring turned blue. I was sobbing in theaters at that. I'm dating myself. Maybe I don't want to oversimplify it, but like really is like, can't you just like, you walk by, you look at the ground, you see some peaches, you look up, guess what? It's a peach tree. Like, I don't know if it's like that difficult, but then again, I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
And I have to imagine they'd be like, and these are the peach trees and these are the plum trees. Like, at least they were probably given a layout of the land. Cause don't know a lot about farming and orchard raising, but I'm guessing you don't just randomly say, oh, peach tree, pear tree, what's up next? We'll throw the plum tree there. I'm guessing they're arranged by type.
Yeah, it's not like how I set up the trees on my island in Animal Crossing.
Exactly.
It's exactly like Animal Crossing.
Just one here, one here. Oh, that one too.
Aren't those two plants natural enemies of each other? I don't care. They look great
for the aesthetic, my friends.
But like underreported, I am growing more and more fond of plums. So I was actually interested to see some of plum dishes in this episode as well.
Plums are a little soft for me to eat raw, but in a cooked dish, I can get down with.
Give me any of these fruits. And I will love them raw. I just love peaches, pears, plums, all of it. Yep. And of course, apples, unless they're too sour, in which case there might be tum issues.
Quick, what's your favorite kind of apple?
Honeycrisp.
Oh, yep. Right answer. Correct answer.
Got a bag of them in my fridge.
You fit in well with us. That's the only apple that matters.
Should we talk about the Ohioto?
I mean, he's really trying to make Ohio happen. And I've been to Ohio many a time, and it's a decent place, but I don't think it needs to be represented in every dish.
No, stop trying to make Ohio happen. It's not going to happen.
You can make Ohio happen, but Ohioto, I don't think that's going to be happening.
Sushi rice risotto with apple, bacon, and cheddar. It looked not okay. So listen, one time I ran into a serving of risotto that was quite possibly one of the worst things I've ever eaten. Mm. And it was kind of what Padma was describing Outishar's was, which was mushy on the outside, but still hard on the inside.
It's both undercooked and al dente.
That's an upsetting texture for me.
Yeah, that doesn't sound ideal.
I don't know if it's, I mean, this is going to sound like sacrilege. I don't know if it needed the bacon.
They didn't either. They said it overpowered everything.
Yeah. It's but like in terms of like, I feel like I just have to defend bacon at every turn,
you don't have to. Bacon's time has come and gone. We can love bacon, but we don't have to wear bacon t-shirts anymore. We don't have to do that to ourselves.
I have two.
We don't have to eat bacon jam.
Every time I renew my subscription to the Bacon of the Month Club, they send me another Bacon is Meat Candy t-shirt. So
are you serious?
Yeah.
I'll take
how many of these
shirts.
T-shirts do you own, Curtis?
I just two. I've only two.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can't wait for you to renew this subscription again. And then you can send Latani one, and then you can send me one, and then we can wear them all together.
We can all have them.
But the apple pie with cheddar on it is a thing. So I think that could have worked.
I learned that from Taxi Driver.
The sushi rice, but the sushi rice risotto is, I don't know. I've made decent risotto before. I don't know enough about like the rice science behind it. Like, can you make risotto with any rice? But it didn't sound like it worked.
It did not work.
And I don't know if that was a technique thing or just an assumption that you could use sushi rice to make risotto. I'm guessing you can, otherwise he wouldn't have tried it, but...
This was one of the times when because I wrote down, Tom's here, stop everything. This is one of the times that Tom tried to be like, come on, this is dumb. Don't do it to a contestant. And they were like, nah, my vision. So
it's interesting that both the people that Tom did that to ended up in the bottom, eh?
Yeah.
I was very worried for my good buddy Abishar here. Yes. Very, very, very worried.
He's a little inconsistent, isn't he? In terms of top, bottom. It's like when he's good, he's great. When he's bad, he's bottom. So, but he's Gabe, still around. So.
Thank gosh. Gabe, the winner of this challenge. Love this. Smoked and glazed plums and an orchard fruit jus with pork and chicken. Literally, only protein on the plate was in the jus. And he's just like, you want fruit? Here's some grilled plums. Some enjoy, grilled my plums. Friends.
And they looked beautiful.
Oh, so good.
They looked so good.
This is one I really wanted to try. I probably would have been just like Amar and just like licked the plate. I liked how Amar kind of looked back at like, yep, the other guy. So it's funny is that we see Avishar and Gabe walking away. And so like some of the things I've always wondered, like, you know,
can they hear them? Well, I think Amar basically shouted like, this is shit.
But like sometimes you see them still like starting to eat it while the chefs are still at the table. And sometimes you see them like walk away and then they start eating. But here is like, we see Avishar and Gabe walking away off in the distance. And Amar leans back and takes a look to see that they're, make sure they're not looking. And then he licks the plate. So he was done with the dish before, like when they, not too long after they left the table.
To be fair, it was like a single plum on a plate. I could down that one bite if I tried real hard.
That's true. I keep forgetting they're not getting like 12 full, you know, full on
dinners.
Plate. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless Maria is cooking it for every.
And I wonder if this season they're telling them to make like more bite-sized dishes, because in the past, any leftovers, they are basically allowed to like give them to crew, and crew would just like eat off the plates that have been eaten off, where they can't really do that this season. I wonder if they're saying like, hey, make just little dishes to like, like, let's not waste too much here. Chris made a seared scallop with peach butter, smoked and seared plums, pickled pink pearl apples and grapes. He was in the top. Good for him. Right. Great week for Chris.
Great week.
I would eat this and then immediately throw up because of my scallop allergy, but I would risk it for this.
There's a lot of elements here that I just wanted to try individually, like in terms of the peach butter, the smoked and seared plums, the pickled pearl apples and grapes. There were just so many components here that intrigued me. And so I probably would like try a little bit of each one at a time, and then try to get that, you know, cohesive spoonful or forkful that has a little bit of each element to it. This sounded really good.
Yeah. Pink pearl apples. Nom. So good. And I love scallops. So anyone who can properly sear up a scallop, please let me know.
Do you want them to slide into your DMs?
Why not? Everyone else is at this point.
I will. I will take free scallops if anyone has them.
Just scallop of the month club.
Well, I don't like the idea of sending scallops.
Sounds really bad. Kurt's like, can I also say that this is the first time in podcasting with you too that Haley has referred to you as Curtis, and that's how I know that shit got real for a second. You love to see it. You really do. I didn't even know your full name was Curtis.
Don't know it's Curtis. I don't know your full name is Curtis.
It is Curtis with two S's.
Okay, I feel like I did know that. But I was just going for it. Shota made salmon nanbon with sour applesauce, duck fat crumbles, and plum salt. Nanbon.
Sorry.
Not man bun, no.
Okay.
I would love to be covered in duck fat crumbles, personally. But they said that the salmon was not up to snuff.
This was a dish that said they didn't even need the salmon.
Yeah, just honestly, the sour applesauce and the duck fat crumbles.
Just lots of duck fat crumble. Yum. Crispy duck fat, yum.
I think the only person who didn't have a protein was Byron. We can get to him in a bit, which is like, so I think, you know, that comment I think makes it as interesting. It's like nobody, it said it had to be a savory dish. So I think wonder if that implied to a lot of people that it should contain a protein of some sort.
But I love when they're like, no protein. F it. I can make savory with fruit.
Yeah.
Gabriel, we talked about, made Kumamoto oysters three ways with apples, peaches, and plums. I really did love the idea of making like three different vinaigrettes with the the fruits. I will probably never eat oysters again, if I'm being honest with everyone. I developed an allergy to mussels. I'm worried it's going in that direction. So, and I just don't ever like oysters enough to just like, again, throw up after eating them. So I'll take a pass on this one. I'll let you guys share it.
Yep, we'll, Latanya and I will split them.
I would go to town on these. I love oysters so much. My boss, actually, we went to like a Harvard, the tournament at Harvard. And before we could even get to the hotel, we had to stop at this place that wasn't far from the airport just so that we could get oysters. And it was glorious.
Nice.
I want to go to there and live there forever.
I do love oyster culture.
The band?
Blue Oyster Culture. Yes. Don't fear the Reaper Pepper. It's a. Oh, God.
Ooh, I like that one. Oh, that was funny. Oh, gosh. Gosh, you make me laugh.
Thank you.
Jamie made pepper pears. I'm just easy. Grilled pork, polenta, poached pear with pickled grapes. She used a lot of peas in this dish.
She did. I didn't notice that as well as I was typing it out.
As in reading, pepper pear sauce, grilled pork, polenta, and poached pear with pickled grapes.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Do what you can do, like pickled purple grapes. Like the kind of, it loses its steam at the end of the tongue twister there.
Mm-hmm. Pepper pear sauce.
I wasn't sure what that was, but I would have been curious about this. This is actually one
sauce made with peppers and pears, but that's just me.
If this was on the menu, this is one I would have been interested in trying, just based on the components as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I love
it. It felt like a complete dish.
It's just different jams, really. So no wonder.
This is basically like a, reverse engineer the jam episode, technically, right? No?
Yeah. Never mind. Sure. Why not? I think that I would be interested in knowing what the consistency of the pork is with it being grilled. Pork is probably one of my least favorite things to eat, especially pork chops, but this isn't a pork chop.
I recently ate a pork chop for the first time in like 5 years. And I was like, this is fine. But like, again, yeah, I'm right there with you. I love pulled pork. I love anything like, or like a carnitas. Basically any pork that's been like low and slow with a lot of sauce.
I guess, okay, I take back what I said. That is
good. No, but like I never.
And then like ribs.
You know. I'm like okay with ribs. Yeah. But like I'm never going into a restaurant ordering a pork chop. Ordering ribs. Like it's just.
I like pork loin.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
I don't know that I've had a great pork loin. That's the thing. So I don't even know if I would want the protein on this dish either.
You just want poached pear? Wait.
I just want the jams.
I think that's fair. Sarah made grilled shrimp with quinoa, apples, plums, and peaches.
Sure.
Honestly? Skip the quinoa and give me everything else.
Yeah.
I don't mind quinoa. I take this as is. But there's nothing. And it doesn't give the fact that like it doesn't have to give a description as to like the preparation. It doesn't sound as sexy as it looked in terms of the eye feel of it. That's a thing. I feel
you should never say that again.
I could have said aesthetic, how it looked aesthetically.
We love you, Kurt. Have we told you that lately?
We love you, Curtis.
Don't leave us.
So mad right now. You look even more like Tom.
Speaking of the I feel offended.
Byron made filled pasta with tarragon apple pear with apple and peanut reduction with blue cheese and pickled grapes. It sounds real nice. It felt like he was trying to redeem himself from the great pasta debacle of 2 weeks ago.
Well, he didn't make that. That was all Chris that made the pasta.
But he was still around it.
He was around it.
Yeah.
He was in the vicinity of the pasta emergency.
Think of it was on him.
And this was the one where I was like, this one didn't look like it had a a protein. Like there was no like, yeah. like seafood or meat or fowl or what have you.
I feel nice about
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir again. Yes.
We're in Oregon, baby.
See, I'm wondering, it's like, I know we did our draft last week. But is there a way we can mirror the Big Brother Stockwatch and do like an ingredient watch? Like, I'm like betting on which ingredients are going to make an appearance in the next week. Like, I would like buy stock in Chanterelles and
I'll buy stock in yogurt.
Pinot Noir. I'll give some thought to this to see how this could get pulled off.
Please do.
Yeah.
So that sounds interesting, but also something I'm not willing to dedicate brain space to.
I'll make it as turnkey as possible.
Hey. You're the best. I don't know what I'd do without you. You just serve everything to a platter on me, and it just makes my job so much easier as the local idiot. Kiki.
Oh my God.
Kiki's losing dish was an apple glazed fried chicken grilled and pickled peaches with creamy polenta. Listen, sounds nice in theory, but Kiki, the poor woman.
I knew she was going home.
10 raw chickens. 10 of them. She served 10 raw chickens.
All of the chicken is raw. Every single plate is just Salmonella City.
It broke my tiny heart.
I felt, and she's on my team. It's very sad.
It was very sad.
She's on Haley's team.
Is she?
Is she?
Yes.
Huh. Did I note incorrectly? Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
I also thought Kiki was on your team.
If you check the tab in the...
Oh, yeah, God, you're right. There's a tab. Well, never mind. But I still felt gutted about this. Because it did, like, when they showed the dish, it looked amazing.
It looks really, really good. I would order that on a menu.
Yes, it looks so good. And I was like, yes, sign me up for this. And then when we started to get some, like, this is a raw chicken from the judges, I was like, God, there's no way that she's not going home. Like, you can't make any bigger mistake than serving these judges raw chicken.
The moment she said, I'm just going to let it finish cooking on the plate, I'm like,
what?
I know that's a thing, but I would have been like, and they'd asked her several times, did you try this or did you? And she, I think I tested it, but I think the testing that we saw was her putting the thermometer in. Although she did also reference at some point that both her, I think her and Byron had, it sounded like, tried it and it was fine. But she said that they cooked it in two batches.
Yeah.
I don't know what ended up happening there.
There wasn't enough time for her to cook that chicken in that apparatus that she had to cook the chicken. And Tom tried to tell her that wasn't going to work out.
Yeah. This was the other, that other instance of the Tom giving a preview or giving feedback to a contestant and us seeing the contestant in confessional kind of acknowledge the feedback, but opting to go another way.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit, I was like, no bueno.
Don't go into the light, Kiki.
Well, we'll get to it. She hasn't, but we'll get to that.
That's true.
Nelson made a seared scallop with apple bernaise, apple shallot relish, and sauteed pears. He was also on the bottom. It seemed like the judge's biggest issue with this was that he didn't cook the scallop well and that it was just too heavy-handed with everything else.
This was like the rosemary, I think, was like dominating the dish here.
Because everything here sounds good in theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this one, Padma said that, she couldn't finish it. It just wasn't good. And it did sound like last week it seemed like it was, three dishes that just unfortunately there were small things that landed in the bottom. Here between Avishar, Kiki, and Nelson, it sounded like, the judges said they all made dishes that could very well send them home. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't a splitting hair sort of thing. It was like, these weren't good. Just there were some fundamental issues.
The meatiest of the ogres.
Yes, really. Exactly.
Don made caramelized apple risotto with herbs and apple glazed duck with Macintosh apple olive oil puree. Sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember some of the judges were very impressed by, like, I wouldn't have thought to like blend apples and olive oil together, but apparently that ended up going really well. And like the, if I saw this on the menu, I'm sure like my inner dessert loving child would have seen caramel apple risotto and be like, oh, interesting. Slightly different than caramelized apple risotto. A little bit
different, yeah.
But I've been like, oh, caramel apple risotto. Let's try that. And then the apple glazed duck. This was definitely an apple dish, although it's potentially using the trashiest of the apples, the Macintosh.
Aw. Leave it alone.
Poor apple.
Poor Macintosh apple.
Granny Smiths are the worst ones.
Yeah, that's true.
apples.
Yeah, trapples. This dish sounded fantastic, and it got Richard to say that he learned something, which is, you know.
First time in 18 seasons.
He learned some other stuff, too. His hair is way different now.
God, I always love Richard. I just can't help myself. Maria made albondigas secas, braised in grape juice, red wine, with plum and bonito sauce. Maria had a great moment this episode when she shaded the judges for not being allowed to use peppers.
Yeah.
Well, once you took all my chilies away from me, I had to go do something different.
I loved it. So give the judges S, my friend.
I'm liking Maria more and more as the episodes go by. Like I did not like her to begin with, but
she's just really like blossoming, as one would say, maybe.
I've always loved her. I love the way she calls everyone hun. It's just so endearing, I think. And she is just like unapologetically herself, which is wonderful to see.
And that's the episode, my friends. We lose Kiki to the Last Chance Kitchen. And I'm sad to see her go, but I just didn't really see any other avenue at the end of this episode.
No.
Yeah. There was the moment during Judge's Table where, I liked her responses to everything. Like when they said like every piece of chicken was undercooked or raw, she was like, there was something really touching about her response of, my heart sinks to hear you say that.
Yeah.
You know, like her responses were very, I think, thoughtful and measured. And I don't know. There was just something just delightful about her. I'm sad to see her go. And at the same time, the moment the chicken was raw, and she's like, obviously, if I had realized it was raw, I wouldn't have served it to you. And the judges kind of acknowledged.
They were like, no one ever intends to serve raw chicken to anyone, exactly. Which I thought was good because they could have just continued to pile on at that point. But once, you're right, she expressed herself in the way that she did, and it was so thoughtful and kind of heartbreaking, honestly. They eased up, but you can't serve these judges raw chicken and have every single one of them. Maybe if one of the dishes had raw chicken, she could have gotten away with it, but if every single dish is raw.
This is one of those instances where if she hadn't gotten the chicken to the plate, if she just served grilled and pickled peaches with creamy polenta,
she may have
still been in the bottom, but she might have stayed. Because they would have said, because we've seen this before, it's like, the thing that didn't make it to the plate is unfortunate, but what was on the plate was good.
Right.
It just wasn't as multidimensional as it could have been. But then, yeah, the flip side of it, you know, Gabe's dish, the winner, looked amazing. I think they were really complimenting his sauce work. And he's kind of got on this mission to show that, you know, food from Mexico isn't constrained by, you know, preconceived notions. So looking more, you know, forward to seeing, you know, what he can bring to the table. And Latanya, I think you have a good draft pick in Gabe, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited actually about my draft picks after this episode.
Yeah. So did the two of you watch Last Chance Kitchen?
No, hear me out. Unlike last week. This one's not my fault. Last week, my fault. This week, not my fault. At the end of every single episode, my friends at Food Network Canada, when they say, like, check out Last Chance Kitchen, like, in big letters, they go, like, now on foodnetwork.ca. Guess what? Not a single episode of Last Chance Kitchen is up on foodnetwork.ca, unless I haven't found it, which I don't think is true, because I'm pretty good at Google searching. So
it's on the Bravo website.
I can't watch it on the phone.
You can't watch it. Oh, because
no, I'm Canadian. They say this is not available in your region.
I go, you need a VPN.
I have one, but it's on Ethan's computer, and he was using his computer to watch Lost, so I couldn't watch Lost to be fair to me.
Lost Chance Kitchen.
So I slid into Food Network Canada's mentions and asked, hey guys, like, where's Lost Chance Kitchen? Like, I'd love to watch it. Waiting for their response. Hopefully they'll tweet me back. MTV Canada's really good at tweeting me back. Let's see if Food Network Canada will. So I didn't watch it. Tell me everything.
Did you watch it, LaTanya?
I did.
Okay. So this episode, they are definitely getting back to, you know, confront that issue that sent you home. And so they had to create a dish using a raw protein, but they weren't told that ahead of time. Like, this is, it was Kiki and Sasha together, and they were basically showed a bunch of different proteins like scallops and yellowtail and other proteins.
Shrimp? Probably. Was there shrimp?
I want to say there was.
Probably.
There, I can't remember. Sure. Like, but the thing is, they weren't told ahead of time that we're going to be cooking raw dishes. So they each picked the protein. Kiki picked scallops. Sasha picked yellowtail. And then they were told that they had to basically make a dish using the raw version of that protein. And Kiki made a scallop ceviche with peppered relish and tamarind, where Sasha made citrus marinated yellowtail and avocado puree with Calabrian chili oil. And we saw that Kiki beat Sasha.
Yeah.
So I was kind of just telling myself the story of Sasha battling her way back in. I guess, you know, technically she had just won, you know, two previous challenges and not enough of a streak to stop Kiki.
Who, from all outer looks at how she was doing during this challenge, looked like she was just falling apart. Like, she was just running around the kitchen, dropping stuff completely. Because I'm sure the setup of Last Chance Kitchen is quite different than that that they're used to working in. Plus, you know, Kiki really, really wanted to redeem herself after having served all of those judges raw chicken. I felt like her heart was in this a lot more than Sasha's, whereas Sasha definitely just wanted to win because I think Sasha loves to win. I think she's a competitor.
And we saw, it sounded like Sasha kind of hit her stride in terms of the format of Last Chance Kitchen versus like the main competition. We've still got Kiki. And this also solves the problem of, if Sasha comes back, who wins the draft? Now it won't matter. Yeah. So typically we've seen somebody come back, when there's maybe 10 people left? Like, there's kind of ends up, the last few seasons there have been two re-entries from Last Chance Kitchen. So
yeah.
So I'm guessing if Kiki can last maybe, you know, at least, you know, two more episodes, we may see her back in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Kiki come back. And I think that for her, because at the beginning of the show, there were a lot of the chefs that were expressing that they didn't feel like they were cooking their food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a comfortability level with being able to do that, that people are just starting to ease into. I feel like if Kiki could come to that level of comfort in Last Chance Kitchen, she could come back and be a really formidable opponent for all of the chef testants that are left. That's what I want to happen. Unless, of course, someone on my team gets eliminated, in which case, I'm sorry, Kiki, I love you, but I am also competitive.
I'm going to put you in a tough spot. Who from your team would you like to see Kiki beat to come back in the competition?
Byron.
Okay.
I'm just like really, like, my heart is full for Abhishar and Jamie. And I like Byron. We just haven't gotten a lot from Byron.
We have.
If I had to pick, that's who I would pick.
Okay.
The way you set it up, it makes it look like I chose Byron first, but that's not the case, right? Like, that's what happened?
Correct. You did not choose Byron first. I believe you picked Avishar.
Yeah. And then Jamie, then Byron, then Kiki.
Yes, I think so. Should we talk about what we've been eating or making this week?
That sounds reasonable. Yeah. Kurt, what you got for us?
I think I'd mentioned last weekend that I'd placed an order from goldbelly.com. Mm. Two of their things arrived. One is a homemade grinder kit that has like
three, the app?
Yes, like the app. But no, there's like the sandwich, like the hoagies and grinders.
What's a grinder sandwich?
It's like the app.
It's like, you never heard of grinders?
Uh-huh.
They're like hoagies or subs.
Hoagies and grinders.
Hoagies and grinders.
Navy beans.
What is that? I may have listened to that song this week, Tanya, because I could not get... The moment the grinders got delivered, I had Lunch Lady Land stuck in my head. You've not heard the Adam Sandler song, Lunch Lady Land?
No!
I'm telling you, more than any other podcast, this needs to be done live so that people can see the faces. It's fantastic.
When I Google grinders, all that comes up is like
meat grinders,
home hardware type stores, or like weed grinders.
Google grinder and sandwich.
Yeah,
Google grinder.
Well, I just wanted to Google grinders.
And make sure you put the E in there, of course.
Grinder. What do you mean? Oh,
that's the app.
Grinders food. Like what is that?
So I got a kit of like these like eight inch grinders of like there's like three kinds of meat and a couple kinds of cheese and four kinds of, because there's like taco, like you there's like heated taco meat on there, a couple sauces. Pretty tasty. And then
what is this just like the kitchen sink of sandwiches?
Well, this particular
Italian,
one is.
Okay. I'm going to the Food and Wine magazine recipe for Italian grinders with garlic aioli.
Said no one ever.
truly perplexed.
Grinder, like, check more like, it's more like Subway level than, you don't typically see, like, high-end Food and Wine grinders. It's just
okay,
like.
Okay, well, then I'll type in low-end grinder.
Oh, my God. Then you're just going to get tender. Yeah.
Anyway, so I got this grinder kit in the mail, and I got a burnt-end sandwich kit in the mail as well.
10 best grinder sandwich recipes.
I love this. It's like a whole new world for you, Ariel.
A whole new world. A new fantastic type of sandwich.
A hoagie new world.
I've never called a sandwich a hoagie either. Like, let's just say
I primarily heard
not a hoagie.
I probably heard hoagies back when I was living in Pennsylvania.
I thought like hoagie was like a specific type of sandwich.
It's more Midwestern than it is anything else. There's a ton of hoagies in Chicago, but not as many grinders.
And then the burnt end sandwich kit was good. And then today I ordered, first I rarely get breakfast, but I got a Spanish scramble. So it was like avocado, Swiss cheese, corned beef hash. I can't remember everything that was in it, but then it was like green peppers. It was topped with, I got two eggs sunny side up, which is like something that for some reason, those don't seem to impact me as much. I don't know why. But yeah, so that was kind of, and I got a deep dish pizza for dinner on Friday, which was quite tasty from a local place. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's been kind of a low key week. I'm like slowly making my way through these different sandwich kits I got because they, go bad after like a week and a half, and there's a ton of them. So,
and you're making a lot of sandwich. You're going to be listening to that song constantly now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I found a recipe for a grinder sandwich on Livestrong.com. So for some reason,
yeah, the best source.
I mean, it sounds like a great sandwich.
How about you, LaTanya?
well, no grinders.
Any other type of sandwich I've never heard of before? I feel like an idiot. Like, how have I not heard of this thing?
Because it's more American, right?
You guys love your sandwiches there.
We love our Sammies. No, I had a pretty good sandwich yesterday from a place whose name I can't remember. Sorry. But it was just like all of the products were Boar's Head, and they had some really interesting chip options, which I thought were great. And it was just like a standard, like, Chipotle turkey sandwich with, like, with the fresh ingredients and a ton of shredded lettuce. I don't know what it is, but I really like shredded lettuce on sandwiches. It was pretty good in keeping with sandwiches.
My grinder kit came with a huge bag of shredded lettuce.
It's great. I had some, it's been a very low key week for me. Like, I don't have a lot to report in terms of foodage. I had some pretty good tacos yesterday though.
Tell me about those.
So they were, there's this place called Lime and Radish that's not far away from where I live. And they serve just like the best mahi-mahi tacos ever. And they have this tropical guacamole that they make, which is guacamole, but with mango in it.
That sounds lovely.
And it's delightful. Yeah. So I had a lot of like avocado crema. And some mahi-mahi tacos and some really good guac and homemade chips. So that made me happy yesterday.
Nice. My breakfast this morning did come with avocado toast as well.
Mm. Does most of your food come from like meal delivery kits?
Yeah, I would say it's either meal subscription kits or takeout.
Yeah.
The only thing I really will quote unquote make are
is the ground beef thing?
Sandwiches. Oh, I forgot about the Clark famous beans and ground beef. I've not made that. One of the dishes the only family dish that we really have is like it's called beans and ground beef. And actually it's funny, I was supposed to go I called my mom last week and I was like, do you feel like making beans and ground beef for dinner this Wednesday night? Because I'd love to come over and have some. and we had to end up canceling it. But no, it's just I've not yet made that since I moved back to Michigan. But primarily I'll make like sandwiches.
What kind of beans?
Like Bush's baked beans.
Huh.
It ends up kind of being a tomatoless chili.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you, Ailey?
What did I do this week? I made really delicious chicken quesadillas. Like, we grilled the chicken, grilled the vegetables. Don't want to call Ethan out, but he burnt the first batch of vegetables, so I had to make another batch of vegetables. Poor guy. Ethan. We all make mistakes. Those are really, really delicious.
Watching Lost. And yeah, he hasn't lost track of time.
Honestly, like, every 4 years, he's like, I'm going to start Lost from the
beginning. You have
and
to.
I'm always like, no, don't do it.
You have to
because
do
then
it.
He talks to me about Lost, and I don't want to listen about Lost. But if you want to listen about Lost, check out
Ocean Recap,
Down the Hatch, Lost stuff.
Haley's been waiting for Josh to not be on the podcast for years to be able to voice that opinion.
You're never gonna watch Lost.
No, I will not. No, it's not for me. I like bad shows and things where people don't die constantly.
Well, okay.
I have depression already. Like, I'm gonna go watch more TV depression. No, I'm gonna watch Nailed It for 7 hours.
Lean
I watch
it.
America's Next Top Model from 10 years ago to lower my self-esteem even more. That's what I'm gonna do. What did I eat this week? I don't know. I made cupcakes yesterday and I overbaked them. They were fine. Gonna eat pizza tonight. Had some fish last night. Nashville hot fish from
Nashville hot fish. I didn't know that was a thing. I mean, I can completely get what it is based on the description, but I've not heard of that as a evolution. Interesting.
Canadian celeb chef Maddie Matheson has a place in Fort Erie, which is down the way. So we went for a park picnic yesterday and then drove down the Niagara Parkway and stopped down in old Fort Erie and got some fish. It was pretty tasty. And I have another piece that I'm going to eat for lunch after this. What else did I eat? I've been eating a lot of grapes lately because they're tasty.
Oh, grapes.
Did I rave about my frozen grapes last week?
Yes.
Yes. They feel so good.
So good.
Having flashbacks to them.
What else am I going to eat? Like, I'm going to have at least two lunches. I'd say at least two dinners. Oh, I tweeted this yesterday, but I had a cupcake after every meal yesterday, which was nice for me. I tried the M&M brownie like the stuffed, you know, like peanut M&Ms, except brownie M&Ms recently. Those are great.
I've not heard of this.
This week I made for lunch, I made an egg sandwich actually. And I took these, they're not technically crackers that we sell at this health food store I'm working at currently, but they're like cheese. They're just baked cheese. And I put those on my egg sandwich and that was great.
So what, you don't like hard boiled eggs. You don't like scrambled eggs. What form is sandwich is the egg sandwich?
Like an omelet basically, which is basically just a flat scrambled egg.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why. Okay, listen. I don't know why. I just don't like scrambled eggs.
You don't have to. It's okay. You don't have to watch Lost.
I don't want to watch Lost.
I was picturing an egg salad sandwich.
No, I'm rather tired of eating egg salad sandwich. Those are gross.
You don't like egg salad?
Oh, why would I?
It takes like three seconds to make, and it's good and filling.
I will never eat a chicken salad sandwich. Will not eat an egg salad sandwich. Anything that's like
ham salad
sandwich, I'm not going to consume.
Please reference our discussion of Bound salads, I believe, around this time last year.
But I'd maybe eat a potato salad sandwich.
Ooh, what?
No,
what?
That's a lie. I don't like carb sandwiches.
What are you saying?
You're right.
It's like the one that blank salad that was not ever meant to be put in a sandwich. You decide to put in a sandwich, like tuna salad, egg salad, chicken salad. Tuna salad
not happening.
All sounds appropriate. I would argue that potato salad is the one that is.
Why is that more different than anything else?
Because
tell me why. You can't come up with a reason why.
Yes, potato salad is a side. It is a side dish. You don't put your side dishes on bread. Or bring them home.
I've put potatoes.
So you shouldn't put mac and cheese on like a sandwich? Like, I mean, I'm not going to. I like macaroni salad.
You should not put mac and cheese on
a sandwich. I did have a lobster mac and cheese burger this week.
Oh my God.
That was amazing. So it was.
Of course it was. It was lobster and mac and cheese.
And for that purpose, it's like, I was like, do I want mac and cheese on a burger where it's like carbs on carbs on carbs? It's like having mac and cheese on a pizza. It's never going to be my first choice, but it was it was like a surf and turf mac and cheese burger. It was so good.
I do have two lobster tails in my freezer right now, but I want to go like a different route than just straight up cooking them. But also, Ethan won't eat lobster, so it's going to have to be one of those things that I just take on by myself.
So you can eat lobster, but you can't eat any of the other seafoods.
Yeah, my grandmother is allergic to all shellfish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that someday I will be too, but I feel like if I just keep eating shrimp, like I'll never lose a tolerance.
You'll build up an immunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shrimp is my favorite. Like, I love shrimp. I would eat shrimp at every meal if I could.
Yeah, you sound like my grandmother. Like, she literally did eat shrimp at every meal.
I love that for her. But Ethan won't eat any seafood, so.
Yeah, it's the two lobster tails for you then, right?
I'm double-fisting lobster. Sounds like a great Friday to me. Can we go more off the rails in the ending here? Like, how many people have turned this off?
I mean, I think they turned it up.
Yeah.
My vocal fry has just gotten deeper as we've gone on.
The vocal fry started off pretty like hot and heavy on this episode, so it's okay.
It will continue. I will take no comments about it. So, or my upspeak, okay? Like, let me upspeak. Let me live. Anyway, where can people find you on the internet and or what other podcasts are you doing this week?
Curtis?
Either one of you. Yeah, go
well,
for it.
I think I'm precluded from the podcast thing because this is the only thing I got going on. You can find me at Kurt Clark. Kurt with a C, Clark with a C, because I think so. Kurt Clark, just given how confusing, apparently, Kurt Clark with two C's was last week.
It's really weird.
Kurt Clark.
I have two S's for Curtis. Why couldn't I have two C's at the start?
I agree.
So find me there on Twitter, on the Insta, on the Twitch. Yeah.
I'm getting lots of emails about you live streaming Twitch, Kurt.
Yeah, what are you doing on Twitch?
I've been live streaming some games, mostly Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Fall Guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think I could live stream Jenga? I'll take that as a no.
I'm very unfamiliar with Twitch. I think we need to do something on Twitch together, though. I don't know what it is.
We could do Overcooked. Have you guys played Overcooked?
No.
Please keep in mind, I'm very bad at video games and games. I only play The Sims and Animal Crossing.
I do not even own a console.
So let's tank the Twitch idea then.
Okay. We'll play Twitch, but
is there other stuff you can do on Twitch?
Like, can we play poker?
Oh.
Can we play Uno? Oh, we can play Uno. Oh,
can we play Uno?
I was leaning towards something food related, just to kind of, I don't know, keep it relevant, but it doesn't have to be.
We can just, you know what, tweet us what you want to see us do on Twitch.
We could do a simple, just...
Like cook-along?
Cook-along or dine-along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come dine with me.
Emily's thunder here. Because Emily does, like, cooking show streams on Twitch.
Is she?
Yeah. You're not on the Discord. People should join the patron Discord, by the way.
You're right. I don't understand. I feel like I'm getting very old because I don't understand Discord.
I bet I'm older.
I don't understand Clubhouse.
You don't need to understand Clubhouse. No one, nobody does.
It'll go away.
Nobody knows what it means, but it apparently gets the people going. I don't like it. Lots of people do.
I keep getting alerts for, here's a topic that is relevant to you, started by somebody who you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, how is this topic relevant? Okay. I turned those alerts off. But it's okay. I bet I'm older than you are, and I can Discord. And so that means you can Discord.
I guess. I actually have Discord downloaded on my computer. Mm. And the one day I had unplugged my headphones, and Ethan and I were standing in the office. And then I heard a noise coming from my computer. We didn't know what it was. And we thought maybe somebody hacked my computer and was taking weird pictures of us. But then I realized it was Discord.
I mean, I also hacked your computer and taking weird pictures of you. But yeah, it was probably Discord.
Yeah, definitely Discord.
Definitely Discord.
Let's go with that.
Certainly not anyone on this podcast with hacking skills.
My hips aren't as flexible as they used to be.
$100,000 patrons. How about you, Latanya? Are you podcasting?
Yeah, I'm still doing the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The season finale podcast drops tomorrow, as does this podcast. So you get like a double dose of Latanya, or not, because I get it.
hear me out. They can listen to each of those podcasts twice and get quad Tanya.
If you listen to it at double speed, though, then is it still single dose? If you have two, you listen to two Latanya podcasts at double speed. Does that equal one Latanya podcast, or is it still double dose?
So I'm doing the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Feedback show this coming week, and Josh Wiggler is going to be joining us again. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I don't know him.
Sounds familiar.
I heard that he's one of those guys who likes to talk about things on podcasting. So, you know, he could be a good fit for what we're doing. So we'll have that feedback show, and then we'll let you know what the plan is for what Everything is Super will be doing later. Other than that, I just did a Star Wars, what is it called? Revenge podcast? Of the Sith podcast. I was trying to think of which movie it was, because we were at the end of the prequels. For the love of God, thank you, Jesus. We're at the end of the prequels, because I was like seconds away from Padme and deciding that I was losing the will to live. other than that, you can find me on the Twitters at LKStarks. And if you find me on Instagram, then you get a prize, because I never tell anyone what that handle is.
But you followed both of us.
That's prize. True. I did. Jesus.
Current host's not eligible for a said prize.
Yeah, exactly. Because technically you found us.
I did. I usually do find people on Instagram. I'm really good at it.
My name's Haley Strong. You can find me on the internet at @HStrong_ on Twitter and Instagram. And I think on Twitch, I'm Haley Strong. I don't do much over there. Might start, probably won't. I keep telling myself I will, but then I just play Animal Crossing instead. I'm going to watch 8 more episodes of Temptation Island so that I can join Kirsten on the Temptation Island podcast on Wednesday. Big feat, but I can do it. Maybe.
I believe in you.
We'll see. I mean, I watched 2 episodes this morning. Maybe
throw an episode of Lost in there and you'll be ready to go.
Ethan's watching Lost right now. He's like, well, you're upstairs. I'm going to watch Lost. But great, because I don't want to watch it. Because he came downstairs while I was watching Temptation Island this morning. He's like, why are you on your phone? Like, look at me. Pay attention to me. He's like, if I was watching Lost, you'd be on your phone. I'm like, I wouldn't be here, bud, if you were watching Lost. I'd get lost as you were. Anytime we go on vacation, we get on the plane, he's like, so let me tell you the plot of this episode of Lost. I'm like, no, this is not the place for you to tell me about Lost.
Oh, it's certainly not.
There's no place to tell me about Lost.
But especially not on a plane.
Mm-mm.
No, no. Oh, Ethan.
What is he, nuts? I mean, it had to have been to marry me, but that's the point. Yeah, that's it for me. Hanging out. Okay. Bye. Love you guys. Bye. Pack your knives and go. Bye. Bye.